Radio Daily for Anti-Friday. But hey, if you want to look at it in a good way, we're back. No, that's not an upbeat way of saying that.
We missed you.
Exactly. So it's been a weird, it's been a wacky, it's been a wild. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com.
Dang.
Facebook, Twitter, the things of that nature. It is, what is this, the 12th of August, I believe is what we call it. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the lady that knows, yes, it's time to face another week. And only the way she can. That there's the Flinstress.
This task was appointed to you. And if you do not find a way, no one.
Dun, dun, dun.
If that helps you sleep. Hey there. I'm the guy that always makes sense. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Hey, Pikachu rode with Lord Farquaad on the back of a humpback whale to the land of Guam.
And you know I'm right, so let's not even discuss it. What happened this fine day, yo?
Well, let's take it all the way back to 3 AD. A planetary conjunction is visible from the Earth with the naked eye. I want to say the naked eye, like it's not like people wear clothes on their eyes, but astronomers will later speculate that this may have been the Star of Bethlehem, mentioned in the New Testament of the Bible.
1865, after studying Louis Pasteur's germ theory of disease, which suggests that infections are caused by bacteria, Dr. Joseph Lister becomes the first surgeon to use disinfectant during an operation. That's not that long ago.
Yeah. 1887, Thomas Edison creates the first sound recording on foil-wrapped cylinder with a device called the Edison phone. The recording is of him saying, Mary had a little lamb.
Fantastic. 1908, the construction of the first...
I mean, the fleece was white as snow.
1908, the construction of the first Model T is completed by Henry Ford.
In 1946, Richard Thomas demonstrates an additive color television system, Thomas Color. People do love to name things after themselves at the National Association of Broadcasters convention in the U.S.
1960, Echo 1, the first communication satellite, is launched by the United States from Cape Canaveral. It bounces phone calls from Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California to the Bell Lab in New Jersey.
Oh, I wonder if they recited Mary Had a Little Lamb. In 1988, Orion Pictures releases Mac and Me, directed by Stuart Raphael and starring Christine Ebersole, Jonathan Ward, Katrina Caspari, and Lauren Stanley. The film largely rehashes the storyline of the blockbuster E.T., but flops big time at the box office. It goes on to garner a small cult following, which will value the unintentionally humorous production value.
Well, it was a movie made by McDonald's. Ronald McDonald's in it.
Wow.
1990, Sue, the most complete skeleton of a Tyrannosaurus Rex is discovered near Faith. You gotta have Faith, South Dakota.
Of course. 2004, David Weiner, the developer behind RSS, launches the very first podcast, Morning Coffee Notes. Podcasts are made possible by the release of RSS 092, which features a new enclosure element that passes the address of a media file to the user's RSS aggregator.
So thank you, aggregatories.
Yay.
2005, Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter is launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, on the first Atlas V rocket used by NASA.
In 2009, astronomers announced the pending publication of an article in the Astrophysical Journal announcing the discovery of the WASP-19b, the first planet that orbits in the opposite direction to the spin of its star. The planet is the 17th exoplanet to be discovered by the Wide Area Search for Planets, consortium of UK universities.
That's that red dwarf planet where time runs backwards.
Oh, Smeg.
Birthdays.
Casey Affleck is 44, from To Die For, Good Will Hunting, and the Ocean's Trilogy 11, 12. 13, and the assassination of Jesse James.
Rebecca Gayhart is 48 from Urban Legend, Jawbreaker, and Dead Like Me.
Peter Krause is 54 from Sports Night, 6 Feet Under, The Catch, Parenthood, and 911.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Baby got back.
Is 56 years old. And Jonathan Colton welcomes you, sir.
Jim Beaver is 69. Bobby Singer in Supernatural, Deadwood, and Justified.
George Hamilton is 80 from Evel Knievel, Love at First Bite, Zorro the Gay Blade, Spides, and of course was the extra crispy girl.
Right. No longer with us, born in 1883, Marion Lorne, Aunt Clara on Bewitched.
1907, Joe Besser. That's Curly Joe Besser of Three Stooges fame. The man that made us really appreciate Ship.
Born in 1910, Jane Wyatt, Father Knows Best, and Spock's mom on Star Trek.
1935, John Cazale from The Deer Hunter, Dog Day Afternoon, Godfathers, both Oon and Doe.
Well, on TV tonight, CBS, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood and Big Bang Theories and Mom, and then a rerun of Bull.
Plural. ABC, it's a new 2-hour Bachelorette, Where the Sun Don't Shine on a new Grand Hotel.
Is that the butt? NBC, American Ninja Warriors and Dateline.
Fox, it's a new Beat Shazam and So. You think you can dance?
On CW, we get a rerun of Bulletproof.
Freeform is showing both Finding Nemo's and Dory.
They found them. Spoiler alert.
Oh, come on.
AMC Infamy, A Sparrow in a Swallow's Nest on a new The Terror.
Bravo has a new Below Deck Mediterranean.
FX is showing The End of Endon, a new Legion.
Aw. FXX Simpsons Marathon, The Great Money Caper, Homer, and Day of the Jackanapes.
Oh. FXM Pitch Perfect 2. Not as good as the original.
Sad. NGC Pacific War Mega Rex on a new Drain the Ocean.
Okay. BBC America has Escape Plan.
Which one is it? The Sci-Fi Channel, of course. Showing those sci-fi standards, The Fast and the Furious, and...
What did you call it?
Too Fast, Too Furious.
The franchise. Nice. On TBS on A New American Dad, Mooncake begins to feel lonely when Gary tries to reconnect with the estranged mother who abandoned him as a child. That's on Final Space.
TNT has... Remember the Titans?
I do remember them. Science, How It's Made Marathon.
USA has WWE Monday Night Raw.
And VH1 has Reunion Part 2 on a new Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
With the Lifetime Movie Network, after a troubled teenage girl is sentenced to house arrest, she falls in love with a young man who recently became her next door neighbor, and the two engage in a seemingly harmless relationship, but she begins to have suspicions about him. Vivica A. Fox, Callie Taylor, and Travis Byrne star in The Wrong Boy Next Door.
Oh, the wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Law firm partner Andre is found dead in his office. Stefan takes advantage of a woman by bribing her with shocking pictures of her husband during a divorce case. Photos so shocking, Joey Greco from Cheaters couldn't even look at him. Chad defends a wealthy man accused of rape. Wait, what, all of them? Gabby disagrees with a pro bono case because she's always been pro-share. New associate Sonny joins the firm, non-bono. The firm is shocked by revelations at Andre's funeral. Ha! Just wait till they learn about that butterfly. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
We do. Hi, geeks. Jim home, so I can write to you as I listen to you. My roommate...
I think that's supposed to be I'm home.
Oh, I'm a monkey. Leland listened to your episode that referred to the Cliffs of Death and Jetfire. He guessed the show is Transformers from the 1980s. Well, no, it wasn't, actually, but right frame of mind. I'm trying to recruit him as a GRD listener. Unlike me, he's not missed much TV at all. And it was good hearing you mention Stephanie Kowalik for inventing Kevlar. Mm-hmm. She's one of the great scientists in Sid Meier's Civilization VI, and Ty's for providing the biggest boost to a nation's space program. And I found a YouTube video of PC gameplay of Songbird Symphony. It's cute and fun, but the songbirds sound nothing like real birds, which makes me sad. Aww. I thought sound captures had advanced enough to include actual bird sounds. Thanks for helping me miss out on less and being such a good company. That is from Bill.
Aw, hi, Bill.
Tell Leland that no, but that was a clue because the character we were referencing actually was Transformers for that, so it was helping you lead to the cast, if nothing else. Because last week, Simon and Simon, because the 80s and detectives and people who were different is always fun. And thank you to everyone who did write in and guess last time. So from over the course of the month, we have drawn ourselves out a winner. So Carlos, send us a note. We got to talk.
Yay.
Congratulations to you. And, you know, we're starting a new month and we just started it. There it is. Tell us where it is and drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com or
510-GRD Grill.
That's the better way.
How you doing? My name is PJ. I'm from the BickerBots podcast. BickerBots podcast is basically what happens when you take a Republican, a Libertarian, and a Liberal and sit them all in front of the mics and discuss current events and most pop culture.
Would it be cheating to bang a smoking hot sex robot?
Pack,
would please it be answer, because I need to know.
Oh, I don't
you
think
need
so.
To know?
So we here at the BickerBots podcast feel everyone's special, even the gingers.
I'm going to apologize to all the ginger listeners at this time. Ray Ray's a stout racist.
You just said they should be 50% off at the adoption homes. Just saying.
We care about worldly issues like our brothers down under and their sex-crazed koala bears.
Koala chlamydia an all-time high and is spreading. Bro, get them koalas some fucking rubbers.
Here at the BickerBots podcast, we don't judge people based on their sexuality.
Not all of them, but
it's their version. It's not like
so they
version.
Have. Okay, huh? Interesting.
Oh, you're starting to think about all them catchment fucking, huh?
Yeah, I listened to the bestiality episode. That was quite interesting conversation, let me tell you.
There's nothing interesting about it. Just man, beast,
love.
Exactly.
Well, if you like what you heard, we're on Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, basically any platform you can download a podcast on.
This is Gareth David Lloyd from Torchwood, and this is Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed it is. That's how you start off a week, folks, the right way. And by finding out what everybody done did. Well, folks, go see you.
This week's 10 was new. Bring the Soul, the movie, made $2.296 million in the first week it was out.
I prefer the novel. This week's 925 from last week is Toy Story 4, another $4.4 million, $419 million in 8 weeks.
They're working hard to make a living. This week's 8. Last week's 4, Spider-Man Far From Home made another $5.3 million. It's made $371 in 6 weeks.
This week's 7 is new, The Kitchen, $5.5 million.
Is it supposed to be a horror movie?
I have no idea what that is.
This week's 6 is also new, The Art of Racing in the Rain. This is the one with the Milo and the dog, $8 million.
Milo and the dog. It's coming this Milo fall to Fox.
Vermertilia.
Oh, well, then I should see
the
that.
Dog.
This week's 5, last week's 3, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, another 11.6. It's made $100 million in 3 weeks on a $90 million budget.
This week's 4 was new. Dora, Dora, Dora and the Lost City of Gold made $17 million.
Did you ever think there'd be a $50 million Dora movie? No, never thought of it. This week's 3, last week's 2, The Lion King made $20 million, $473 million in 4 weeks.
This week's 2 is new, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, made just a little over The Lion King, $20.8 million.
The number one movie in America is Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, $25.4 million, $108 million in 2 weeks on a, wait for it, $200 million budget. God. Come on, America.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News.
Geek News.
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Josh Applebaum and Andre Nemec, Corin's brother, I guess, who wrote the recent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, are writing a script for what is said to be an ensemble piece.
Well, you take the good, you take the bad.
Well, they also worked on Alias.
Should've led with that.
Sure. Amongst the members of a G.I. Joe spinoff is Chuckles. That's right, G.I. Joe spinning off. Chuckles, a character known for undercover and infiltration work who has not appeared in any of the previous G.I. Joe movies.
That we know of.
Fair. Chuckles is a character from the 1980s line of action figures debuted in 87 and in the very much beloved Marvel Comics G.I. Joe title that same year in issue 60. The character is known for his undercover and infiltration work.
Well, glad they declassified some of his missions so we could get the movie.
Currently, Snake Eyes, the first spinoff, is in production, pre-production, ahead of an October 16, 2020 release. Applebaum and Nemec are also working on Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, which Michael B. Jordan is producing for Paramount. They're working so well at bringing military action to the screen, I can't wait to see what they do with Gomer Pyle USMC.
I'm sure that's next on their list.
Shazam.
Well, I mean, if you have any geek cred at all, you know that Star Wars Galaxy Edge World at Disneyland is, you know, is coming, is open now, essentially. It's been very aggressively marketed.
I mean, I got a cracked rib from one of the trailers.
So aggressive that it seemed the place would be overcrowded and near impossible to get into. That may have had an unintended side effect. It's keeping people away.
Well, I mean, a lot of people were nervous to go. They all have death sentences in 12 systems.
Well, the wait time for the first and, well, only real ride in the place is Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. It was expected that they'd be like 2 hours long all summer. In actuality, they've only been like half that or less. As a result, Disneyland employees are seeing their working hours cut back.
That gives them more time to ride it.
Well, the dip in attendance is small, but enough that CEO Bob Iger addressed the drop this past week, citing a number of factors from expectations and concerns over huge crowding to local residents staying away due to the way the pass system works. The second big ride, Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, is set to open December 5th in Florida and January 2020 in Anaheim.
And we're taking donations now to cover the opening for you.
Right? Speaking of Star Wars, the films are about to get another re-release this fall as new box art has been making the rounds online, showing off matching Blu-ray and DVD covers for the 10 movies in the franchise released on home video so far. Each release will contain a digital copy.
How many other people shoot before Han now?
Right? Sorry, upgrade fans, there are no 4K Ultra HD copies, which means it's probably a repackaging as opposed to a full remasters, which are likely to come next year once Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker hits home video, and there will be potentially a full 9-film saga box set.
Of course,
we will buy. You know, maybe if Billy Flynn can program which special edition scenes he wants, because Hayden Christensen has no business being at the end of Jedi.
None at all. Valve has quietly changed the way Steam Workshop handles new content and updates to existing content.
Is it steamier?
Maps, weapons, and other user-created items will now need to go through moderation and get approved before they can be downloaded by other players.
Is this a secret panel, or are we going 900 numbers?
First spotted on the Counter-Strike Global Offensive Reddit were pics showing a message that users will need to wait for a verification email from Valve and moderator approval before content will be visible to others in the workshop.
Great. I put in all that time and effort on content, and man, it's going to make me wait. How long?
Well, on that post, it says it takes less than a day.
Well, that's longer than I put in.
Fair enough. As of now, Valve has yet to release an official statement or comment about this new policy, but it seems very likely this is in response to numerous problems CSGO players have had with fake and spam content on the workshop.
I don't like spam.
Now, we're simply guessing this new policy change is a direct result of that issue, or if this policy change will apply to all games on Steam that have workshop content. We also don't know who is actually moderating this content and how that process works, so... who's modding the moderators?
Hey, on a clear and starry night in mid-May, you had trained a high-powered telescope on just the right part of Jupiter. You would have seen something very, very strange.
Now, you tell me?
Sorry, but the Great Red Spot, one of our solar system's most famous features, would have appeared to be sort of slowly unraveling. You would have seen some swirling storm systems casting off ribbons of rose-colored gas like petals in the wind. It would have been beautiful.
Would I have needed to, take anything first?
No, but earlier this year, dozens of diehard amateur astronomers across the globe began noticing that the Great Red Spot's ordinarily ovoid figure looked distorted. By April, it seemed to be shedding red flakes. In May, the flaking grew so extreme that the spot looked like it might disintegrate.
And then the doctor stepped in.
Maybe. I mean, humans have been observing the Great Red Spot since the invention of the telescope in the 1600s. And at its peak, the storm was three times wider than the Earth. Since the last 19th century, though, it's been shrinking slowly but steadily. In 2012, amateur astronomers noticed that its shrinking had accelerated. And in May, when they saw it sort of flaking, they figured, oh no, could we be on the verge of losing the Great Red Spot? This would be kind of catastrophic.
Right?
I mean, if you think about it, it's like you go to New York and remove the Statue of Liberty.
Don't give David Copperfield any ideas.
The Great Red Spot, turns out it's not actually dying, at least not any faster than it had been before. It looked like strands of storm were tearing away, but what they're basically saying is, like, material from the jet stream comes and goes through the Great Red Spot all the time. Sometimes it passes straight through, sometimes it's actually absorbed by the storm. That's what it basically looked like when it was flaking off. It was material that had gotten close to the storm, turned red based on proximity, and then just never completely became a part of the storm after all. So it was kind of a false alarm. We do need to kind of keep an eye on it. It would be crazy if anything ever happened to it. That'd be like a huge thing. But it turns out the Great Red Spot is probably actually okay. It's just sort of fluctuating in weird ways.
So that guy took something.
Maybe.
AI-powered music. Look, I know you just want to have fun and dance or whatever, yeah. but by God, human beings are what actually bring, you know, music to what it needs to be. But Sony now is jumping in on this whole AI-powered music thing. They've revealed that its researchers have created a machine learning model that can create kick drum tracking. According to Sony, the AI is capable of building musically plausible drum patterns based on existing instruments being used on the song. Which means this is the ultimate version of that button on the Casio MT-100 keyboard. In order to train the AI system, Sony researchers compiled data from 665 different songs from a wide range of genres, pop, rock, electronica. The songs all feature rhythm instruments, bass, kick, and snares that were available as separate 44.1 kHz audio tracks. With the contextual signals of those tracks, the researchers created drum kicks by setting a drum sample at amplitude peaks. The AI system conditionally generates the kick drum patterns based on the characteristics of other material placed around it at the time. It's just filling holes.
Whoa.
It's not feeling it. Sony's not the only company that's toyed around with this AI-assisted nonsense. Facebook has been using it to convert music of one genre to any number of other styles. Sometimes those are cool. Google likewise has experimented with AI's ability to create a building project called Magenta, tasked with generating musical and visual creations. Be our muse. Others have managed to use machine learning to create endless guitar riffs and complete musicals, though the results are pretty questionable in terms of quality. Hell, they haven't even made anything better than Nightman.
So I wonder how you say ba-dum-tsh in binary.
That's a great question. And you know, that's a good way to start off the week. If you have any idea what the appropriate sound, the digital version, the binary version, you know what I'm trying to say. The thing there. By all means, drop us a note. Let's figure that out. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. You can send us an email about anything. What did you do over the weekend? How was life, liberty, and the pursuit of, you know, stuff and whatnot? You can also tell us all about that by dialing the magical phone number of
510-GRD-CRILL.
That'd be fantastic. And don't forget to send in your guesses. And if you won, you should tell us something.
Carlos!
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Good times.
Good night, suckers.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
Permit me to.
Oh, no, thank you. I already ordered.
I am not a waiter. I am an admirer. Permit me to.
Go ahead, have a seat. Don't tell me, let me guess. Let's see, you are either a magician or you're into handwriting analysis, right?
Neither. I've adored you from afar, Cindy Sondheim.
How did you know my name?
Does one know the wind's name is Mariah?
You're weird, you know that?
Look into my eyes and tell me what you see.
They're bloodshot, and you had too much to drink last night.
What else?
I don't know. You tell me.
Love. I love you. And I can give you eternal life.
Shit, I knew it, an insurance salesman. I've already got Prudential.
I am Count Vladimir Dracula. I do not sell life insurance.